Be amazing to the customers you have to get the customers you want.
Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. In this particular episode, we're having a conversation with Peter Shankman. Peter is an amazing entrepreneur. He has built and sold companies. He's developed an amazing community of entrepreneurs globally. And he is the leader of that community, helping others, you know, develop and build their own entrepreneurial businesses and pursue their passions in life. He is a regular commentator on CNN and Fox. He's done TED Talks. There's probably not much that he hasn't done. Over 400 skydives. He's a cat lover. He's even been preened by a flamingo. I think he's the only person I've ever met who's been preened by a flamingo. And in this conversation, we cover a whole heap of territory, but we do cover a couple of things. We really focus in on why being nice is important, not just in life, but in business as well. We talk a bit about the customer economy and what that means for, you know, businesses generally, but dentists in particular. And we talk a lot about superpowers in business. Now, this is an interesting one because all of us have a superpower and we need to be able to find that and use it and maximize the benefit for not just us and our business, but for those whom we serve. Peter's particular superpower is ADHD, not one that most people would necessarily think of as superpower, but when you hear him speak and how he's managed to harness the good out of that, you'll see that it's had an amazing effect, not just on him and his family and his business, but on the people he serves. He's a really, really fun guy. He's a really nice guy. He's a cat lover. What else can I say? There's nothing bad about this man. He's a really, really good guy. It was fun to interview. And in this, you know, 20 minutes we spent together, he drops loads of G-O-L-D for all of the listeners here. So as always, I hope you have a pen and paper handy to, you know, write down some of these key insights that Peter shares with you so that you can, you know, take them and apply them to your own business. So I really hope you enjoy the interview. And without any further ado, here's Peter Shankman. Peter Shankman, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. Thanks so much for taking the time and especially coming all the way from New York City. What time of the day is it over there at the moment?
It's currently 2:47 in the afternoon.
I love a man who is precise. As dentists, we all appreciate, you know, a little bit of precision, so a precise answer is a good answer. Thanks. Thanks so much for that.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, Peter, you're really well known, you know, globally for, you know, helping entrepreneurs find their thing, help them get started, and you've built this amazing community of entrepreneurs around the world. What I'm really curious to ask you before we kind of delve into that is, in your own business experience, I know you've had your PR firm and all the rest of it, what has been the most scariest thing that you've done in business so far?
I think in business, it was definitely selling my company. When I decided to sell my company, it was sort of a wake-up call. You know, what was I going to do next? How was that going to work? I mean, you could argue that going out on my own and starting my own firm was the scariest thing. But I think it came to fruition when I sold it. You know, everything sort of in one day, you know, I went from just a guy running a company to a guy who had successfully sold one and done pretty well.
So as you know, sold it, I'm assuming that there was a bit of a void to fill there. How was that process? What did you do? Did you have a plan to, you know, roll out immediately after the sale, or did you have to sit around for a while and think about things?
No, my goal was to try and take a year off. I packed a bag. I went to Asia. I think I lasted about a week before I got bored.
Do you know, that's exactly what happened to me. I sold a dental practice and it took me a little bit longer than a week, but I was very soon building websites and stuff for other people because I just have this whole need to do something. So I completely relate to that. It doesn't seem to get spoken about a lot. So when I found your presentation, I was really struck by, you know, how being nice is important in business. I was wondering if you could just talk me through that and how you came to realize that and what it's meant in a practical level for you.
You know, I think we live in a world where we don't expect people to be nice. You know, we expect our customer service interactions not to be great. We expect them to be sort of, whatever. You know, what we find is that if we can just, as businesses, to be a little bit better than what we expect, you actually wind up doing very, very well. People wind up becoming lovers of your business and tell the world about you. You know, you don't have to be awesome. All you have to do is simply be a little bit better than what people expect. And the beauty of that is that it's not that much.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the telecommunications industry is like in the States or the banking industry, but we find here that as soon as you call any of those sorts of professions or businesses, you know, you're on hold for seemingly endless periods of time. You deal with people who seem rather disinterested. So you're right. I think the bar has been set low. It shouldn't be too hard.
It's been set ridiculously low. Exactly. And it's like, I don't need you to do anything major. I don't need you to, you know, just a smile. Sometimes just a smile is all I could possibly need.
Yeah. And one of the things I think around that as well, Peter, as well, and I'm again curious on your take around this, is the importance of just that human connection, that moment of, you know, I see you and you see me. We're kind of in each other's space and presence. And that little moment of connection, I sometimes think that, you know, that's really all it takes. What do you reckon?
I agree. You know, it's because our experiences are set so low, you know, that we don't need that much. The simple act of, hey, how's it going? How can I help you? You look like you're having a tough time. Here's what I can do to make it better. Those simple little things are more than enough. And it's mind blowing. You know, we expect so little that I don't need you to walk through fire for me.
Cool. Good. I wanted to just, while we're on that topic though, because I've been talking to a couple of people around this topic recently, and one of the things that commonly comes up as soon as we talk about being nice to people is there's this fear of being taken advantage of or taken for a ride. And of course, being nice is not necessarily being a doormat. But how do you draw the line between, you know, knowing when someone's just taking the mickey out of you, as we say here in Australia? I don't know if you have a similar expression in the States, but how do you draw that line of saying, I'm being nice, but there's my boundary?
You know, I think that the scariest, what I don't remember the quote, but something like the scariest thing that people should fear is a good man who has been pushed too far. You know, I am one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, but cross me and you don't want to know me, you know, because it will not end well for you. And it's been pretty amazing the few times that's actually happened. It's, you know, unbelievably true.
Okay, cool. So hell hath no fury.
Yep. It's true.
Yeah, cool. I think that's fair enough too, because, you know, everyone's got their limit and that's just the way it needs to be. I wanted to just quickly just change tack for a second, because I was listening to you speak about the customer economy, and we did touch on that a little bit about, you know, kind of being nice and all the rest of it. But you had an expression, I just wanted to, I hope I don't misquote you, but something along the lines of this: get the audience you want by treating the audience you have kindly or better.
Be amazing to the customers you have to get the customers you want.
Yeah, so I love that quote. So tell me a little bit how you came across that notion. Where did that start?
It started actually on a date. Yeah, you know, I went on a date once, and this woman was, it was clear that she was out with me, but constantly looking around the room to hopefully find better people. And it just got to the point where it's like, you know, if she's nice to the person she's out with me, then I'm going to tell the world how great she is, right? I had such a great time with this lovely woman, da-da-da. You know, so be nice to the people you have. They will bring you the people you want. And that really translates the same way in business.
Yeah, cool. Fantastic. I love that. That is a wonderful quote. You work with a lot of entrepreneurs. You've got a huge entrepreneurial community. When you work with entrepreneurs, obviously you see, you know, lots of people do really well. I'm sure you see other people struggle. What do you think it is that separates those that make it from the rest? Where do you see the difference?
I think there's a couple of different things. One of the first ones is the fact that, you know, if you believe in what you're doing and if you enjoy what you're doing, you do it a lot better. You know, I see tons of people who they get into business for the wrong reasons. They get into business because they believe that they can make a lot of money, or, you know, they hate their jobs. They want to start their own company. It's the wrong reason to do it. You want to do something because you love it. If you love it, it doesn't feel like work. And that's so key. That's so, so key.
So, you know, assuming that, you know, the people that we're talking about here are in a position or a role or a business that they love, they feel like they're doing their life's work. What other things do you think are essential to be able to build a business out? You've obviously successfully built businesses. You've successfully sold businesses. What do you think have been the key lessons along the way that have contributed to your success and the success of others?
I think one of the biggest things you can do is create a business or create a company that actually serves a purpose that other people see as well. You know, I've seen so many people, I have this great idea, and no one else sees it as a great idea, right? So, you know, greatest thing you could do is talk to everyone and make sure that you are talking to the right people, you're doing the right things. You know, you want to be asking as many people as humanly possible, because if you're not doing that, you're wasting a lot of time and you'll never truly be thrilled. You have to make sure that you're getting the right people, asking the right questions, doing the right homework, and that, you know, you're serving the right purpose.
Cool. One of my mentors always is challenged me to ask better questions. And, you know, that certainly, that piece of advice has always been really powerful for me. You know, if I'm not getting what I want in life, I've just got to start asking better quality questions.
No question about it.
Yeah. So in your business, what do you think has been one of the best questions you've had to ask of yourself?
Am I truly happy? I think one of the greatest quotes I ever heard from someone was that if you can't change the people around you, change the people around you. And I learned that if I wasn't happy, I needed to fix that. And I needed to make sure that I was doing the right things for the right, at the right times, for the right reasons. And if that meant that I wasn't happy with the things I was doing, I needed to change the things I was doing.
Okay, so again, you'd see lots of entrepreneurs who'd be either in startup mode or beyond startup mode and doing other things as well. In a practical sense, how do they go about doing some of those things, you know, changing things? Because change can be scary for some people. You know, so if I'm saying, if I've got a dentist sitting here saying, look, I need to change this element of my business, or I need to change my business altogether, I need to get into business, but change is scaring the pants off me. You know, how do you conquer change? How do you think you can approach it in a way that's not so scary?
Great thing about change is that it's designed to be scary. But if it wasn't scary, you wouldn't do anything with, right? The nice thing about scary is that scary facilitates change. If you're, you know, I'm a skydiver, right? Everyone says, oh, you have over 400 jumps. You must not be frightened anymore. The day I'm not frightened of skydiving is the day I quit the sport. You have to be frightened, right? But that frightened of it is what makes you want to do it. And that's what keeps it exciting.
Cool. So feel the excitement, be aware of the risks, be aware of the dangers, prepare accordingly, and step into that zone of excitement. I love that. That's cool.
Take it a step further and say that people who fear change, you know, haters usually fear change because they like the status quo. You have to figure out a way to break the status quo.
Well, the status quo can be a bit like quicksand, really, can't it? You know, it just holds you back as a giant elastic band, and you know, it feels comfortable and warm in your quicksand, but you've got to get out of it.
Exactly. You know, your comfort zone's a nice place, but nothing good ever grows there.
Hey, Peter, I noticed when we started talking today and we connected on Skype that your description, you know, under your Skype name has the word hustling. And I love that because I think that's such an essential trait of most really successful entrepreneurs that I see. What does hustling mean to you? Because I know some people will have different connotations of it. What does it mean to you?
I think for me, it just means constantly looking for new ideas, looking for new things that I can do, looking for new ways that I can continue to grow my life, my brand, everything, and enjoy my time, you know, and not let the grass grow under my feet, I think is a great way to put it, right? I constantly want to be busy. I constantly want to feel like I'm doing something, whether it's with my child or whatever the case, I just want to feel like I'm doing something.
Okay, cool. So who do you think, you know, as you look around the entrepreneurial community, obviously you're a great example of someone who really kind of gets it done and keeps motoring. Who do you think would be other examples of, you know, great hustlers in the keeping moving sense?
Oh my God. I mean, there's so many, you know, who do I love? Craig Caruso over at Caruso Apps is doing a great job. Julian Ehrlich over at Breather. He started this company called Breather, which is just phenomenal, growing so fast. You know, anyone who's busting their ass, Brian Solis, anyone who's busting their ass to make the world a better place in whatever capacity, I'm a fan of.
I love that. Cool. I actually really firmly believe that we've got to be on this planet for, or we're only here for a short time. Let's make it a good time and do something good. Yeah. And Peter, in your own business, in your own business life, if, you know, I sometimes feel that everyone has their own superpower, you know, their own little moment of genius or whatever it is. What's your superpower?
ADHD.
I knew you were going to say that because, you know, I'm a prepared kind of guy. I did do my little bit of research around this. So tell me about your ADHD and how, because I know some people would say, oh, really? That's an unusual thing to say as a gift. But I know that you found the silver lining in that. So what does it bring to the table for you?
I figured out a way to use it to my advantage. I have a faster brain. Okay, a faster brain is actually a good thing if you know how to use it. If you have a Honda and a Lamborghini, everyone's going to want the Lamborghini, but you have to know how to drive it. If you don't know how to drive it, you're in the car, try to drive it like a Honda, and you crash into a tree. So the key is to understand how to drive a faster brain. For me, I know how my brain works. I know what makes it better. I know what causes trouble. And so I try to make sure that I'm doing the right thing in that regard.
Okay, so in specific terms, obviously your brain works faster. It allows you to, you know, think and process more rapidly. How does that show up in your business?
Oh, no question. I mean, I take, you know, what some people might take decisions and take weeks to ponder. I make them in about 5 seconds. Are they always right? No, they're not. But I am very good at figuring out, not sitting on my butt, you know, but getting things done. If it works, great. If it doesn't, I'll do something else, but at least I'm getting it done.
So that whole fail quickly mentality, you know, try it, see what happens, get on and keep going.
Yep. The key is to do as much as you can and get it, you know, just keep that fire burning, for lack of a better word.
Okay. And, you know, again, what other superpowers do you bring? You know, with your ADHD, obviously, you know, it allows you to process fast and so on. But what other skills and things has it led to? How has it affected your, not just your life, but your business particularly?
I think for me, it gives me the ability to think differently, think more creatively, to be more creative person, you know, to be able to play with my daughter differently, just to do things that are better for my life, for the way I like to work.
Okay. So on your podcast, which is Faster Than Normal, which is, I've listened to quite a few episodes of that, and you've got some amazing guests on there, all coming, you know, with their own stories, their own superpower, usually ADHD, obviously. How do you see it showing up in their lives? Is it the same sort of, you know, same sort of manifest, or is it just different altogether?
It varies. There are, you know, in some situations, there are people who took a long time to figure out what they had. And when they finally did, they figured out how to use it to their advantage. There are other people who, you know, sort of fly by the seat of their pants. But in the end, it's about knowing how your brain works and knowing what you can do to make it better and take advantage of that speed.
It's a really funny thing. You know, many years ago, I met a real estate agent in my hometown in Queensland, and he was an ADHD or is an ADHD guy as well. And, you know, he had the most amazing business. And I always used to marvel at his energy and his joie de vivre and so on. And it was only years later that he told me that it was his ADHD, it was his superpower and his gift. And, you know, it's funny, you know, he was the first person I ever heard refer to it as that way. And obviously now that you and others are feeling that way as well, expressing it that way, I think it's fantastic. And, you know, the ability to, you know, harness that. And I guess, you know, more broadly, I guess the point I want to draw out here is all of us have stuff going on, but it's about finding those things that we can utilize in our own life and, you know, tap into.
Exactly. At the end of the day, you really want to know sort of what works for you and how you can use it to your advantage.
How do you focus, mate? Because, you know, I'm a person who has a lot of things on the go as well. And one of the things that I sometimes, you know, find tricky in my own life is when I've got so many balls that I'm juggling, focusing on things. What are the key things that you would do in your life to just to kind of, you know, focus on, you know, a particular area of your business, get some stuff done and then move on?
I think for me, one of the first things I do is I make sure that I am up ridiculously early and working. I'm up probably about 3:30 every morning.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I am up and at the gym by 5 a.m. It is radically important that I get a workout in. Radically important. If I don't work out, you know, bad things happen. It's better for me to work out as much as humanly possible. So I try to get there almost every day if I can to the gym or something where I'm doing something that lets me get my endorphins up and things like that. That allows me to start my day. That's probably the most important thing. If I'm up early and I start my day like that, it's usually a better day than if I don't.
Okay. And do you have any other daily rituals that you work through as part of your morning routine?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very aware of what I'm eating, what I'm putting in my body, how I get dressed. Like I have certain clothes that I wear. I have t-shirt and jeans when I'm not on TV or speaking, and then I have button-down shirt and jeans when I am on TV and speaking, and that's it. I don't have sweaters. You know, if I had to have different stuff, I'd start being like, oh, I remember that. That was that. I got that from that person that time. And you know, it'd be 3 hours later, I wouldn't have left the house.
Cool. So I'm always fascinated with people and their rituals, I think, Peter, because I think actually those rituals and habits set us up for the day, set us up for how productive we are and all the things we do. So obviously you've got a very well-defined set of rituals, and obviously they work exceptionally well wealthy because you're doing some amazing things. Look, I just want to just wrap up our podcast and the conversation today because I do have something I wanted to ask you. Tell me about being preened by a flamingo. How does that work?
Yeah, welcome to my world. I was a guest of the Pittsburgh Zoo, and we went down there and they put you in this flamingo cage. Apparently when flamingos like you, they come over to you and they start preening you. And that's how they clean you and they make you feel, you know, apparently that's what they do. That's their way of showing love. And so, yes, I sat and I, for about 25 minutes, a flamingo sort of nipped at my dead skin and my hair. And that was his way of preening. And yes, I felt very loved by that flamingo, almost a little too loved.
Yeah, up close and very personal with the flamingo. And as far as I'm aware, Peter, you are the only person I've ever met who's been preened by a flamingo. Any other animals you've been preened by while we're at it?
I have to say that would be about it, yes.
That's about it. Okay, cool. Hey, Peter, look, it's been a lot of fun having a conversation with you today. And there's so much gold that you've been able to, you know, share with the listeners in, you know, in our 20 minutes or so together. I know that you've got a fully packed schedule and a full-on day. But I did want to take the opportunity to say thanks so much for coming onto the show and sharing not just your wisdom, but your wit with the audience, and really appreciate the time.
A pleasure was mine. Anytime, Jesse.
Okay, take good care. Hi, everyone. Really hope you enjoyed that episode with Peter Shankman, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And on top of that, one of the smartest, savviest entrepreneurs on the planet at the moment, really doing some amazing things, which of course is the whole premise of this show. We want to be bringing dentists the very best in entrepreneurial thinking. And so we go out searching for the coolest people doing the best stuff, and we want to bring them to you each and every week. So I hope you've enjoyed the show, and I hope you managed to take some great notes and extract the gold from the interview with Peter there so that you can apply it to your own practice and make your own life better in every possible way. So if you have enjoyed the interview, please do head across to iTunes, leave us a review, leave us a comment. We do have a look at those, and we really value the feedback you provide us. So I hope you guys have a terrific week ahead. Looking forward to talking to you next week when we interview Nathan Chan from Founder Magazine. It's going to be an amazing interview. Can't wait to do it. It's going to be a lot of fun. So have a great week ahead, guys, and we'll talk soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.